sign up and encourage you. This is a man, boys, prepare for Father's Day. Alrighty, okay. So back to normal. Okay. So I just want to introduce you to one of the my favorite speaker. I've known her for 20 years, and she's been a blessing to me and my children. She's a great wife, a great mother, and a great speaker. And so she brings the best out of me, and sometimes I bring the best out of her. And so put your hands together for Malia Wongsi.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I don't know, for the new people, forgive my husband. Forgive my husband. He's normally not this violent. And the boy that had the pillowcase is actually our son. So, you know, no need to ring the cops, no need to ring Oranga Tamariki, all is good. Am I okay? Check. Yeah? Okay. How good was worship today? Is it my earring? Is it my jewelry? Thank you. Okay. Check. Yeah? Man, I was really looking forward to doing like a concert for you all today, but the headset thing is not working. That's okay. For those of you who sort of came in later on after worship, I was trying to be like, sorry, things are in my hair now. You know, so while we're talking, I really look like a Gumby at the back there. So I was really grateful that you guys were all in worship and you had your hands up and you're like, yeah, in the presence of the Lord. But now I look Gumby up here in front of you. So all my trying to get ready at the back there was really just for my own vanity. Thank you, everybody, for those of you who are OCD like me, if the one earring throws you off, forgive me, I'll take the other one out. I was sharing with some people earlier on this week about how, I don't know, you don't need to put your hand up, but I'm a bit of a control freak, okay? I'm not even preaching yet, okay? I'm a bit of a control freak. I because we've got such a big family, I really make sure, or I try to, with the best of my own ability, to get things done. And what God has been teaching me, especially in this week, is that if I'm busy trying to get things done, where is he at in the midst of that? So all of this here today, it's really God in that uncomfortable space for me. So please, can we just pray that God would give you the grace for me? Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I really do come before you this morning with a humble heart, knowing that I am but a messenger. Lord, I pray that as we unpack what you look like in our lives, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that our praises would be on our lips for you today. And I pray for everybody here that they would have the grace to be able to understand me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are on the topic of stop going to church. Okay, I don't know about you, but when I read that title, I was just like, yeah, that really justifies my Sunday mornings in bed. But then I didn't get the little subtitle, Be the Church. So that's our topic that we've been talking about these last couple of weeks. And for those of you who public speaking or are in thinking about it, usually there's like three parts to a speech or a sermon or a presentation. It's like a recap. So that's what we're going to be doing soon. Then there's a reveal, and that's going to be the middle part then. So it's revealing the Word of God, and then we will respond. How does that look like in your life, and how would you respond to that? Okay, so those are three points for you to write down. Recap, reveal, and respond. Okay, so let's recap. Okay, so all part of this is because you have grace for me, I am learning how to use a dudaki. Okay? So please be... Yay! Everyone give this thing a hand. We watched Men in Black, so it's not one of those things, okay? Where we get to start over. Okay, so follow. What does follow look like when you've said yes to Jesus? Okay, and we talked about spiritual disciplines, about reading the Word of God, and about what that looks like in your life. I hear a great analogy about if you keep saying you're an apple, I'm an apple, I'm an apple, yet I act like a pear, what am I really? A pear, yeah? So if I say I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, but actually I act like everybody else, what am I actually really? Not really a Christian, am I? Okay? And so then that reflects our life change, because when you have an encounter with God, your life should not be the same. It shouldn't be. Your life should look differently. You should speak differently. You should look at people differently because God's love compels you to see people for their best. Because that's what God tells us, that every one of us is precious in His sight. So that's how we should look at others. And then the essential doctrines. God loves us, but how do we love God in return? By loving Him with a sound mind. So it's about knowing the Word of God and His teachings. Okay? So it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to apply His teachings. Then, as I push the button, then we have fish. Okay, where are we? Where's Mr. Ghani? I've got to love this brother. He loves his wife, right? And so if you remember when he was talking about, you know, when you have love in your heart for someone, then everything else would make sense. It's the same application with God. Because of our love for God, because He loved us while we were still sinners, then we should love others in return, okay? And that's, do you love me? And then we had Mr. Rinfe here, that guy that just came beforehand and with the rock theme. And he was talking about if the message is life-saving, then it's worth sharing. You want to remember that one? Yeah? If the message is life-saving, then it's worth sharing. And that's the gospel. It saved me, it saved many of you here. So it is worth sharing. Okay, and as I walk around the pillar, then we've got, who remembers the guy talking about his chick flicks? Pastor Alf. I was at the back there, man. I wish I had some tissues because God really, really is reflected in church community. People's lives changed and how we're a part of that journey. And then last week, who was that guy that nearly did those haka? Pastor Richard, did anyone else sort of feel like he was going to do a haka? Because he just kept stomping the stage, okay? And he was talking about relational unity. And can anyone think of what his last point was? Yeah, church united cannot be defeated, that's right. And then what could we do is build bridges, not walls. Yeah? Okay, so today it's my privilege, my humble, humble privilege to talk about shared life. What does that actually look like? We hear about it, we've seen a few testimonies, but today, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be your reporter. I'm going to be out there, I'm going to be scouring. You're expecting me to come out there now and actually talk to some of you. I've actually asked some people to come up here and share what God's love has done for them. So can we please give it up for Sarah Lee Buller? Yeah? Now this lady, she's an evangelist. She's a dancer. She's an entrepreneur. I told them as I introduced them, don't shake your head, just accept it. But what is she doing? good example of teachability. Anyway, and then we have Paige Tuilomba. Paige, where are you at, my lovely? Another evangelist, a prayer warrior, prophetess, all the way from Okilangi. And then last but not least, we have all the way from the thriller Manila, we have Winnie Santiago Rieger. This lady is an intercessor. This lady, she just loves God, and she is such a faithful daughter in the house. Okay, so because, you know, when I was talking to you beforehand about just letting God operate, so we have not rehearsed. We're just letting the Holy Spirit operate. So let's see what God has in store for us. Thank you, ladies, for joining me up here.
Thanks.
Does anyone else want to check their mic?
Yeah.
No? Hello. Okay, so if we can just go around the table, please, and give a testimony on where you are at and what did God do.
All right, I'll start. Kia ora whanau, I'm Sarah. I have been in Every Nation since 2004 when I gave my life. So it actually, I laugh when the ushers are like, "Hi ma'am, welcome to church. Is this your first time?" And I'm like, "No, welcome you to church, okay? Welcome you." But yeah, so I was in campus studying dance at Auckland Uni. I had never danced, and then I decided, cool, let's do a dance degree. Makes sense. 3D. and then naturally, one of my friends from course, she started inviting me to a youth group on campus, which used to be called VCM, which is now ENC?
Yeah, Every Nation Campus.
Every Nation Campus. So I went because there was hot guys. this is when I was, I think, 18 or 19. So I was lured in. God just knew. He knew how to get me there. So I went, and then I heard an incredible message about life, about redemption, about joy. And I looked around and I saw everybody, and they had so much joy and peace. And I wanted that because I never had that. I grew up in a single home, single parent home. My mum was really abused by my dad, physically and verbally and emotionally. And so I was in one of four children with a single mum on the benefit. So obviously, you know, life was tough financially. And yeah, and so my mum got remarried when I was 11, and he was really abusive as well, and he tried to kill me. So I was kicked out of the house and sent to SIFS, which is Oranga Tamariki now, but then my sister said, no, I'll take her, and I moved to Auckland, where I was raised by my sister. So yeah, naturally, I tried everything I could to fill my life with whatever it was that I could, drugs, alcohol, relationships, whatever, to fill that void in me, because I had never been loved like I needed to as a child. And so, yeah, that's what I had looked to. So I heard this message on campus. I looked around. I wanted what these people had. They had joy, they had peace, they had love, and I gave my life. And I left, and I was so excited. I've never been so amped in my life. It was like I was on drugs to the max. Like, I was like, I was living life, man. I remember I was like not even walking. I was like floating down the street, like so excited to be finally have peace in my heart and love, and know that God is love and He loves me, and that I can be free in His love. The next day I woke up and I was like, oh, damn, it's gone. that feeling, obviously, you know, God wasn't gone, but yeah, that started the journey of my walk with God, and yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, it took ages.
No, all good. Good morning, family. You'll have to excuse me. I'm a little bit nervous. Like, you guys are really pretty, but you're also kind of scary from up here. So, yeah, just you'll have to excuse my nerves. But good morning, everyone. My name is Paige. I got saved in 2014. So before God, so I grew up Catholic. So I knew God, and like I knew the stories of God and all of that, but I didn't know him. And I knew about the Bible, but to me, God was just this massive guy sitting in the sky, like too holy and too busy to care about my life. I was bullied in high school really badly, so I didn't want to commit suicide because I saw how that like ripped through my family, because it happened in my family. But the only time I ever really talked to God was to ask him to just let me die, because I was just over it. Well, I can't cry now, it's too early. We just started. So just the idea of having a relationship with God was never something that I could have ever thought of. Like Sarah, I was studying and I was approached by a few Christian people to come along to this Christian event. And I swear, like my friend and I only went for the food. So, you know, boys and food, they'll get you places, you know? And so, yeah, there was free food after, so we went along, and and then I just started to find out about God and who he was. And then at prayer meeting one morning, the guy that was running it just came up to me and said, like, do you know that God has already forgiven you? And that there's nothing that you can do to earn it. You can't clean yourself up before you come. He just loves you and has forgiven you now. And he asked me if I wanted to give my life, and I didn't even know what that really meant at the time, but I knew that I was done, and I was broken, and I was at the end of myself. So I said yes, and that was in 2014 in June. And so since then, like, it's been amazing falling in love with God. I still have the same prayer now, like, that I would die, but in a different way now. It's that I would die so that God would live in me for as long as I get to be here, until I get to be with him forever when I go home. It's hopeful, and it's not perfect at all. It's been hard. I'm sure you guys can testify to the fact that God is so good, but that doesn't mean that our life is easy. So it's been hard, but any bad day that I've had with God has been so much better than my best day without him. And so I wouldn't change anything, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. And yeah, nice to meet you guys.
Good morning. My name is Vinny, and yes, I'm from the Philippines. Embarrassingly, I had my water baptism way back in 2005. So a long, long time ago. But I can't say that I was saved already, because at that time, I had the water baptism because I know I had to, because I was already pregnant. And before I gave birth, I said, I need to teach my child a religion which I know is right. I was raised and born a Catholic, but since my husband is a Christian and he loves me, he agreed to all the rites and traditions of getting married in a Catholic church. So in my mind, before I even had my water baptism, I said, I'm a good person. I don't do bad things with other people, so I'm good. I will go to heaven. It's always the usual me, myself, and I. It's always me, me, me. Everything that happens in my life, all my achievements, is because I'm so good. I'm so right. Never did I think that it was by the grace of God. And so I was pregnant. I said, what will I teach my child? I need to be baptized. So yes, I had a water baptism in 2005. But for 10 years... never really knew God. It's always been still me. Still, what I plan will be the best. What I want is what I'll do. But then, everything's just not happening the way I want it to be. I would try my very best, but find myself a failure. I would rely my happiness on someone else, or even on material things. I said, okay, when I get married, I'll be so complete. And then I said, why do I still feel empty? I have a husband, but I don't feel like I'm married. So I said, oh, maybe when we have a child, then we'll be complete, and I'll be perfectly happy. Then comes another child. We had two daughters, but still there's that nagging voice inside me that, why am I not happy? What's wrong with me? And never did I put myself in the church. I would isolate myself. I would have friends who will invite me for Bible study. We have, even the pastor would invite us for, you know, like a class or something, but we would always make excuses. I would make excuses. But then I said, okay, I'm good. I will serve because they keep on inviting me. But I would say, okay, I will do kids' church. I volunteered. But only because my child is there and I need to watch over her. So it's my own motive. It's my own personal intention that, okay, while I'm watching over my child, I could serve. So that counts. But deep inside of me, I'm just doing that because I want to be with my daughter, not because I want to praise God or serve Him. It's just by convenience. And then come 2015, when we first came here in New Zealand, my whole life changed. Because 10 years of being a Christian, but not really being a Christian, an apple but a pear. So when we came here in New Zealand, that's when I realized who God is. That's when He made me feel what an answered prayer feels like. And I found myself changing. I found myself feeling incomplete without serving the Lord. And by serving Him, meaning I would do everything the best that I can because I want to praise Him. I want to glorify Him. And realizing that I wouldn't be nothing without Him. Whatever I did is only because of Him. And then I decided that, okay, I'll try praying. Because I pray, but out of obligation, out of a memorized verse, not from the heart. So I started praying because things are just not going through the way I planned it to be. But then I started praying in every single thing. And things just started falling into place. Everything was just so good and amazing that I realized, I'm a daughter of God. I'm not just a wife. I'm not just a mother. But He loves me. Because I thought, if I'm not a good or the best wife, then I will be the best mother. I'll do it, you know, to be the best mom. But then I said, who am I? And then I realized, oh, I'm a daughter of God. And He has plans for my life. And then, you know, when you pray before you decide anything, God will bless you. And having said that, I think my life would be nothing at all without Jesus. I think my marriage will be nothing. I might probably be a divorced woman now if it not for Jesus. So everything was just, you know, it's true. You have to have a changed life. And I only realized that 10 years after being a Christian, and now, yeah, it's here that I found Jesus.
Come on. Let's give a hand for the ladies for sharing. None of us look the same up here, right? Other than we've got beautiful hair. We've sort of made an effort to look good for you guys today. But in amongst all of that, did you hear that we have the same message about God's hope, God's peace, God's joy, contentment in God? And when we came to Jesus. Winnie, could you share with us, since you've been where you serve currently in church, and any gifts or talents that God has brought forth because how you serve?
I've mentioned that I volunteered at the kids' church back home, but here in New Zealand, I realized I want to serve people by joining the guest services ministry. So me and my husband are, we used to be a team leader in one of the GSM teams, and now we are the director of the guest services ministry.
Come on.
And at first, when we were called to do it, I said, I'm not worthy. I don't even know what to do. I'm not a leader. And plus, you know, it will be an inconvenience having to come here very early, looking after things. I don't want to do that because I want to be comfortable. But then God taught me to listen to Him and said, embrace it. You're being called because God has a purpose. Mm. So when you hear something like that in your head, just trust God. And it's right, you know, be still and know that He is God. He has plans for you.
Come on.
Talents, I don't know. Until now, I don't know what the talent will be, but maybe still working on being patient because I'm also a very impatient person. Want things done right away. But by serving, I realize, you know, people have different personalities, different lives and walk in life. You know, you have to be patient and to be able to understand the situation in a different perspective. I think it enhanced me more by serving.
Awesome. Thank you, Winnie. Ms. Tuiloma,
Where are you currently serving, young lady?
I'm currently serving in Kids Church, so shout out to you guys. You guys have, like, you know, your parents out there, so much patience. I only have to deal with these kids for like a few hours on a Sunday. But patience, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, that whole thing. Yeah, shout out to God for growing that. Yeah, your guys' kids are so cute. But yeah, I'm serving there, and it's been cool. It's been cool to have fun with God, like, because, you know, sometimes it can get a little bit like you're kind of just trudging along, and then, but kids, like, to see them love God and believe everything that you tell them about God, and for them to know at such a young age that God loves them, and to watch them pray for each other and all of that, like, it's just really cool. So shout out to you parents out there. You guys are doing amazing. I bet I could speak for all of the teachers in Kids Church to tell you guys that, yeah, you guys are raising some pretty, like, amazing kids. So, yeah.
Yay. Yay for parents. Gifts and talents that God's sort of drawing out of you. You mentioned fruit of the Spirit and patience, but teaching maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Teaching, I think, is a big one because I get really nervous, like, even up here to speak, but yeah, like, the gift of teaching, I guess, is something that God has given me, and so it's been cool to use that where I'm serving right now. Nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so as Sarah Lee mentioned beforehand, when people say, "Hey, is this your first time here?"
Yes, all the time.
We actually did new members together, which is now called Church Family, and so. Sarah has served in various ministries right throughout her time here. Her question is going to be a little bit different in that out of all the ministries that you served, Kids Church, Campus, you were on mission trips, performing arts, what else have you done?
Greeters. But it got to the point where it got so awkward because I didn't know if it was a hug or a handshake, so it was like a kiss hug, a schmug. And so I had to stop. I had to stop being a greeter because it was awkward. It was really awkward.
It's that good Christian side hug, eh? Yeah. You know,
it was like, is it a hug? Is it a... Oh, okay.
So
I kissed a lot of ears over the... Over my time in greeters, I had to stop.
So in the vast array of ministries that you put your hand to because you're so zealous for the Lord, which one do you feel drew out your giftings?
I think it would have had to have been Encore. So that was back in the day, our young adults ministry, we used to run it once a month at Auckland Girls. So I had just finished my master's at Auckland Uni, and if I can get a master's, anybody can, honestly. I just finished my study, and a friend at the time had said, "Oh, why don't you apply for this job in Ōtara as a youth worker?" And I was like, "I don't want to get murdered because what I had seen in the media what I had seen in the media was like, you know, South Auckland so dangerous, whatever." And I was like, "Why would I want to work there?" But I was like, "Nah, cool. Anyway, it's a job." So I applied, and God had told me that I'd already had the job, so I went for the interview, and I already told the owner, Sully Pyatt. I go, "God's already told me, you know, I've got this job." And then he was like, "The confidence of this white girl." So I got the job, and I was, you know, I was the only white girl, obviously probably working in Ōtara at the time, and so naturally people would be like, what are you doing here, why should I even listen to you, like, you don't look like me, you don't sound like me, but my heart broke, and I fell in love with these people, with the kids, with the youth there at my job. And so what I started doing was I used to get a what is those big van things, like a 14-seater, whatever it's called, I don't know.
People mover?
Yeah, people mover. I'd borrow it from my job, and I'd pick up all the kids in Ōtara, and I'd take them to the Encore service. And so I started doing it every month, and then I started a small group with them. And so I would say, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 gave their lives. So all these kids just started coming, and they started inviting all their friends, and then one van wasn't enough. So I'd have to get my friends in their cars to come and pick them up and take them. And yeah, I think that was so fulfilling for me because I found something that I was really passionate about. It wasn't necessarily a ministry that that was around at the time, so I kind of created it, or I sort of saw a need, and my heart was really passionate about it. So naturally, I was just like, I want to do what I'm really passionate about, what makes me feel alive and what makes me feel energetic. So that's what I did. And so all these kids started coming, and yeah, Encore was pumping. It was amazing. Yeah, it was, I think, was that the question?
I can't remember. I was just that.
I don't even know what the question was.
What was the question? People help me. Lord, the question, giftings, talents from that ministry.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I saw that I was really passionate about people, and I found that even though I was so afraid I would be peeing my pants because these people, some were really, really staunch. You know, and they would be like, you know, who the F do you think you are? What the, you know, in my face. Oh my gosh, God, like, look at me. I can't fight you. I can't, look at me. So, you know, I was afraid, but I did it anyway, you know, and that's the thing. It is, you know, when God, you know, don't be afraid because God is with me. So in that environment, I really learned to step out in faith, trust God, and I'd never seen so many miracles of people giving their hearts to Jesus, of families being changed. One of my kids that gave their lives, we prayed for her brother who had cancer, and he got healed of cancer. You know, like, that's just one of the many things. We saw so many miracles, countless miracles of people being healed and restored and salvation and homes being healed and, yeah, people's lives completely changed because God moved. Yeah. I just don't know what the question was.
Sarah and I have done so much life together. I lots of memories come to mind. But yeah, okay. Focus, Malia. Okay. We haven't even started and we've got like 10 minutes left. So ladies, Paige, I'm going to give this one to you. Okay, so for those of you who Paige came to, we did a camp with high school students and university students. After that camp, the university students said never again because high school students don't sleep, you know. And so, but from that camp, Paige had a heart for youth, even though she serves in kids' church. She helped us with our 412 program with youth at risk out at Avondale, same with Sarah Lee. Because the way God is wired, I don't know about you, but he's actually really creative, like ultra creative, that sometimes, you know, when Pastor Richard was talking about puzzle pieces, you know, and you know, if that, you're part of that puzzle, and if you're not here, then you know the person who's putting the puzzle together feels like it's not complete because you're not here, and that's how God feels. But part of our journey as a church family is that we need to help other people be drawn in to be part of that puzzle so that God can look at us and go, wow, I am now complete. Okay, and so with that, coming back to the puzzle analogy, Paige, what has God taught you through serving him right across the ministries that you've served in?
A lot. Like, we could be here for another. Anyone free to stay here for 5 more hours? Just kidding. Yeah, I guess a big part of it is realizing the beauty of the fact that God doesn't just want to use you for what you're doing or what you do, he also wants to use what you've done. Meaning that what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. And so all of the, like me being depressed and having anxiety and, you know, not having a father around, all of that I never thought would be able to be used for anything positive. But in serving God, he's really made me see that where I'm weak, he's strong. and all of the parts that I thought were trash and I would never pick up again, those are the exact places and the exact things that he's used to minister to other people through me, because he's first done it with me. And so it's been such a beautiful experience to see all of the broken pieces of my heart be used for being a part of the jigsaw puzzle and being used to help other people. Yeah, and so I guess it's that. And yeah, and then like how the word says to taste and see that like the Lord is good, I don't think that it's a mistake that God then calls us the salt and light, and that we play, it's such a privilege to be able to be a part of what God wants to do here on earth before, you know, he brings heaven to earth. And so, yes, we are a part of the experience that people have to taste and see that the Lord is good when we are the salt and light of the earth, when we share that we're broken, yes, but that God can make us whole, when we share that, yeah, we've messed up, but God can forgive us. All of the things that I never thought would be used for anything, seeing it turned around in everything that I've done to serve God is, yeah, it's been amazing.
Thank you, Paige. Final thoughts, Winnie? Anything you'd like to add?
I agree with everything works for the good of those who love him, but there is a catch to it, that those who are called according to his purpose, because I believe everybody has a purpose. You may not know it now. You may not understand it because we don't see the bigger picture, but always trust God that he knows everything. He has you in his hands, and everything is planned. Everything before you were even born, everything is already planned out for you. And by serving the ministry, I found out that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I clearly remember it says, what no eyes has seen, what no ear has ever heard, or what mind has ever conceived is the plans of the Lord for you. So we cannot even closely imagine or think about what God has in store for us, because there's so much more, so much more. And to realize that you're nothing without Christ, you're nothing without the grace of God, because everything comes from him. It's not by your own achievement, not by your own good or strength. It's also just because he loves you, and it's just by him, really.
Yeah, that was a verse that I really stuck with through my journey, was no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love him. So I really clung to that, and yeah, that's really interesting. That's But I think my final point was what I was reflecting on yesterday was do it for the love of a soul that needs Jesus. You know, because we just don't know what the next person, what the person next to us is going through or needs. So that's was my heart to serve, was I did it for the love of a soul, because I loved this person so much that I wanted to see them better themselves, and I wanted to, whatever, with whatever gifting that I had, what I could call her, what I could gift to the service was for the love of that person's soul, so that they could get a little bit closer to Jesus, whether it was someone who knew Jesus or not. I did it for the love of that soul.
Thank you, ladies. Let's give it up for the ladies, eh?
How do we wrap up from that? I've been at church a while now, and I've shared my life a few times up here. God's really put on my heart with some, yeah. There's a few of us out here today. The ones who come to church, the ones who come and listen, but then, you know, you've done your bit, but before, you know, the band goes up, you walk out. Before the altar call is said, you walk out and you go to the car. I don't know if we still have that live feed out there, but sometimes even coming in here is too much. The reason why I share that part is that
I was exactly that person. I was hurt, I was ashamed, I felt condemned. I knew that I needed to be part of a church family, but I was okay just sitting here or even like looking after my kids outside. But I knew I needed to be here. But see, the thing with God is He loves you so much, He loved me so much, is that that's not the life He wanted you to have. That's not the life He wanted me to have, just to sort of live on the fringes and eat off the crumbs of others. God wants me to have a seat at the table, just like He wants you to have a seat at the table. The reason why I share this is because, you know, when I do ask the band to come up, I'm going to see some people stand up. I'm going to see some people walk out when I say, close your eyes. Because, you know, you need to go to the toilet or for whatever reason. Or, you know, you say you're going to go to the toilet, but actually you go down to your car and sit there and wait for your spouse, your brother, your sister to come through. My prayer is that today you heard stories of three different people from different walks of life who talk differently, who look different, but God's message was still the same. Sorry for my fresh. God's message is still the same. That God is love. He's hope. In the midst of the storm that Jordan talked about earlier on this morning, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So as I ask the ushers to come up now, please, and just sort of clear my space up here, I have a few points to wrap up in my last couple of minutes here. I've got to hold my folder because I forgot to write it down in my book because stuff went down this morning at home. Okay? Shared life. God's love. God's love at the end of the day is the foundation to which we share our life. God's love compels us to reach out to others. God's love compels us to sit where we're at and be still and just hear what He has to say to you. It's okay in the midst of your crap and your muck. God knows. There is no surprise to Him that He does not know what you are going through. Being intentional. Weenie talked about it in prayer. Be intentional with your prayer. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. And it's not out of a selfishness for Him to help you, but that you can then help others. Be purposeful in your praise. When you sing, that's another thing about God. Man, he really loves music, whether you can sing or not, okay? Whether you can dance or not. We've got a few in our family, actually just one who's not coordinated, but we won't mention his name. I'll go over this side. Anyway, whoop, whoop. Be intentional. Be intentional with your prayer, your praise, and your purpose. You know, we hear about it. What's my purpose? Your purpose is to glorify God. But what does glorifying God look like? And that's where you need people around you. We were talking about it yesterday. I have some sister sandpapers. That's Christianese for people who rub me the wrong way. Okay? And I think it was Paige, eh? Like, if you haven't heard it before, there's brother abrasive. Okay? So there's sister sandpaper and brother abrasive. God puts people in our path to really just, I can't believe she just said that. I can't believe I just said that about my husband. But, you know, it really brings up stuff that is hidden in our heart that we thought we were all good, but actually we're not. Pride usually is a big part in our lives that we quite hold on to. Yeah, I'm all good. I don't need that. She's not really talking to me. She's definitely talking to my spouse. Okay. And then F, I put fun there, but I think from the testimonies today, I think I should have put fellas or I should have put food. Okay. But God has a great sense of humor. He really does. He looks at you and goes, man, you're beautiful. Man, you're handsome. Man, you're strong. Man, you're a warrior. Man, you are just so much fun. But fun can look different in different people. Fun can be quiet, reading, drawing, you know, and you color in together. My daughter's like that. Fun can be out there just being real crazy, loud, like another one of my family members on the front seat. Okay? Fun looks different to everybody, but it's in that laughter. It's in that being in joy. God really is glorified. And then when he talked about the last point, eternity. Our purpose is to glorify God until he comes again. Until he comes again. Until he comes again. So regardless of what you're going through right now, regardless of unanswered prayer, regardless, God has called us to run a race to the very end until we get home. This is temporary stuff. God has a home for you. He has a palace in store for you. There are riches stored up in heaven for you. So until you see God again, pray, praise, purpose until eternity. Amen? All right, so as the band comes up now, and everyone's going to sit in their seats today, yeah, because everyone's going to be like, okay, surely she's not talking to me. I'm going to grab my earrings, pen. Okay, so this is the, oh, thank you, love. Oh, let's give him a hand. No. So all of that, until eternity, it takes time. Shared life takes time. Getting to know people takes time. Getting to see what your strengths and your gifts are takes time. Okay? We use busyness as an excuse. We use anything, really, if it's not the number one motivation of our heart. But it takes time. Okay? So what should we do? Make time. Make time for the purposes of God. Make time for prayer. Make time to give him praise. Whether it be 1 o'clock in the morning, when you can't go to sleep, instead of picking up their phone to surf some Netflix, put on praise. Yeah? Make time for God. Make time for each other. It's so inconvenient. Being with people can sometimes be really inconvenient. But it's in those inconvenient times that God comes through. Yeah? Okay. Oh. Do you want the table still here? Yeah? Okay. I've asked the band to play or come to the altar again today. And as they prepare to do so, there's three groups of people I want to pray for. Okay? Three groups of people. And then after each group, then we'll sing a verse and a chorus. Because there's nothing nobody can say or do that's going to make you move. Move forward into the purpose that God has for you. Move forward and being able to pray for someone. Move forward and being able to lend a hand. First group of people I'd like to pray for are the churched. That's you. That's me. Okay? You just close your eyes. For those of you who call Every Nation Auckland City your home,
where you feel real tired or disappointed or frustrated because people don't come to your connect group. You set a time, you set a place, you buy food and people don't rock up. Or they don't have enough decency to even message you that they're not coming, so you wait and wait and wait. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the ones who, there's a ministry that we have here, actually there's a few ministries, where you're actually rostered and you turn up late. If you don't turn up 5 minutes before you're meant to be here, then you've got to ask yourself the question, am I motivated to be here? Why not? I want to give God my all. I want to be excellent in all that I do for Him. And those who are churched, who come to church, who have done church family, done disciple makers, but still just come to church on Sunday and then go home, I want to pray for you. Why am I not part of this church community? Why am I not part of that puzzle? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Your word says that when one part of us hurts, we all hurt. Lord, I just pray. Pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to them. Minister to my brothers. Minister to my sisters. Why am I not who you've called me to be? I'm here, but I'm not really here. I'm here, but not fully here. Lord, I pray that you would, in the midst of every thought that goes through their mind, that your Holy Spirit would still that now in Jesus' name. And because you're such a gentleman, that you would whisper to them the why. That they would remember, Lord, I pray that they would remember their first love is you. And because of how they first responded, Lord, that nothing would hinder them, that they would take off the heaviness, the busyness, the reluctantness, but that they would enter your courts with thanksgiving and with praise. Second group, for those of you who give God everything, Lord, you are mighty in my house. Lord, I declare your kingdom come over my family members. Lord, you're so amazing. I want to pray for you. The ones who put their hands up to serve wholeheartedly,
the ones who in the midst of everything don't get any sort of acknowledgement from anybody. Not even a thank you. Because you know God has called you. You know God sees that you do things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. I want to pray for you for a refreshing. Lord, I pray for your sons and your daughters. Those who have put their hand to the plow and they don't look back. Lord, I pray that you would refresh them, Father God, that there'll be an extra step in their walk, that they would walk with a new confidence, which is only found in you, Lord, that they would continue to go from strength to strength, glory to glory, Father God, and that you would give them words of wisdom, Father, to declare your kingdom come over family, over finance, over any situation that you've prompted in their spirit, Lord. I pray all these things in your name.
Leave behind all regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy.
Third group, for those who do not know where they'll go when they come to the end of themselves, who do not have you, God, as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that as Lord, I pray that you would soften their hearts. There's no sin too great, no circumstance too big that you are not king over. If today you want to call Jesus your Lord and Savior, want to pray that prayer of salvation with me, could you put your hand up, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that all your sons and daughters here know who you are and know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray that as we continue to walk forward in your plans and in the purposes that you have for us, that you'll continue to shine a light upon our path. In Jesus' name.
Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, Father, that the sound of praise be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear today. That we uplift your name. We uplift you, Lord, that you reign on this earth, that your kingdom come. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what your word says about us. Lord, I pray that you would go before your children this week and that they will continue to focus their eyes on you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all the things and all of God's children say. Amen. Wow. Let's give God glory.